sin is bad. But you already knew that, right? The Bible tells us throughout that sin is something we ought to avoid. We need to do our best to stay away from it. In fact, John tells us in one of his first epistle that we need to do our best to live without sin. And so, we ought to strive to conduct ourselves in such a manner, prepare ourselves in such a manner, that we can live our lives avoiding sin as much as possible. But we do sometimes get caught by temptation. And sometimes we fall prey to that temptation. And as John tells us again in his first epistle there in chapter 2, that if we do sin, God has given us Jesus, His Son, as an advocate who will go to God on our behalf so that we might receive forgiveness of our sins by repenting of and asking for such forgiveness. But the best course of action is to stay away from sin to begin with. That's what we ought to be trying to do. We ought to be trying to overcome temptation. Several times in the book of Revelation, we see, especially in the letters to the various churches, things talked about the one that overcomes will receive the reward. And while certainly we recognize that's talking about overcoming the problems of life in a complete manner so we can enter and receive the reward of heaven, this idea of overcoming, we need to apply it to the temptations that beset us each and every day as well. In order for us to do that, there are certain things that we need to have, certain qualities. We're going to refer to them as keys to victory over sin this evening. You might have a different name you might want to apply to them, but the term keys kind of fits in, and I could make this nice little graphic with a key out of the word. So, keys to help us remember. Some things that are needed. These are not the only things, maybe, that we need to consider in regards to keeping ourselves away from sin, but they are certainly three things that stand out when we look at the pages of Scripture that are needed so that we might keep ourselves out of sin. Now, a lot of times we read that passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13, or I've seen where people read that passage, and maybe at times in my own life I've looked at it that way as well. And we say, well, what that's telling us is if we do get caught up in sin, then God's given us a means by which we can get out. And we go to passages like we read over in, or mentioned over in 1 John chapter 2, where God's given us His Son, and we can overcome by receiving forgiveness of our sins when we repent of them. But I think what this verse is telling us, what Paul is trying to tell the Corinthian brethren, is they can overcome temptation. Not just overcome sin, but overcome temptation. If they work hard enough at it. If they put the right kind of effort into it. Paul told them, there is no temptation that has overtaken you but such as is common to man. And God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able, but with the temptation will provide the way of escape also, so that you will be able to endure it. And all too often, it seems, when I look at how my brethren, and especially those who are just religious in name, act in regards to sin and temptation, they've got the attitude that they can go on and do whatever they want, but just before they commit sin, God's going to show them a pathway where they can get out. And as we talked about when we studied here in 1 Corinthians a few years back, that's not the case. Paul is not saying here that you can get up into the doors of temptation and ready to open it up and there's going to be a secret passage down the hall that you can take and get away from temptation. Paul tells the Corinthian brethren, and by extension tells us, that God doesn't want us to sin, and so He's provided a means by which we might be able to stay away from temptation. To keep ourselves from being tempted to the point that we are overcome and engage in wicked, sinful behavior. God provides us a means of escape. He provides us a way of getting away from that temptation without involving ourselves in the sin. Three things I think that are key to our avoiding getting caught by temptation. The first one being courage or strength of character that is developed by a knowledge and application of the Word of God. We need to be strong enough in our minds and in our hearts with the strength that comes from knowing God's Word that we can recognize temptation when we're faced with it. And we can find the means by which we can avoid that temptation, whatever it may be, before we get caught in its clutches and find ourselves in sin. The psalmist in Psalm 119 makes mention in verse 11, "Your word I have treasured or hid in my heart." Some versions say stored in my heart, "that I may not sin against you." We need to develop a strength of character, a courage that allows us to know and understand temptation before we run into it. We prepare for all sorts of things in this life. We prepare for children, at least when we can. We prepare for retirement. We prepare for going to town. We prepare for birthdays. All sorts of things we prepare for. But do we prepare ourselves to face the temptation that Satan is going to put in front of us? We know for a fact that we are going to be tempted, that Satan is going to try to tear us down and pull us away from God. Do we spend the time necessary to develop the strength of character that would prepare us to say no? Oftentimes when we start talking about this idea of strength of character, we turn to some of the major sins that stand out. Immorality sins, the addictive sins. We talk about tobacco, we talk about drugs and alcohol, we talk about petting amongst teenagers and those sort of things, intimacy and such. But we need to prepare ourselves for any kind of sin. Yes, we need to be prepared for those big things as we look at them. But we also need to be prepared for the little white lies, for the going over the speed limit because we're in a hurry, for the skipping Bible class because we've got something else that's on our mind or something else that we want to deal with. There's any number of things that can confront us each and every day. And God has given us a means by which we can avoid falling prey to those temptations. And the main path that God has given us by which we can avoid that is having His Word inside our hearts to strengthen our character. If we have the Word of God dwelling within us, and we could go and... In fact, when I was going through this lesson again this afternoon, I thought, well, maybe I ought to just go over to 1 John and just read 1 John. Because over and over and over in the book of 1 John, we are reminded that if we are filled with the Word of God, we can keep ourselves out of sin. I'm convinced that one of the reasons that some people don't understand what Paul is talking about there in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 is they're not making the connection between what John says in 1 John. God has given us the pathway to overcome temptation, and it is His Word. His Word to dwell within us and build within us the courage of character, the strength that allows us to stand firm for that which we know is right, and to turn ourselves away from that which we know is wrong. Through your precepts, I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. If we want to be able to find the path that God has provided for us to avoid any temptation, we've got to look in His Word before we get there. We need to develop a strength of character, courage, that comes from knowledge and understanding of the Word of God. Another key that we need to consider when we're talking about being able to overcome temptation is fear. In particular, if we're talking about this, we need to fear the consequences of sin. Certainly, in considering this idea of fearing the consequences of sin, we need to include the fear of God. You remember over in the book of Hebrews, the Hebrew writer tells us that the one that would continue in sin willfully has only the wrath of God to look forward to. Fiery condemnation. We'll read in the latter part of Hebrews chapter 10, beginning about verse 26. And so, because the Hebrew writer is very graphic in his description regarding the consequences of going against God with sin. But certainly we have examples of such situations. We look at Joseph in Genesis chapter 39. We have the story of Joseph there and the things that were taking place in his life. Remember, he's the brother that got sold into slavery into the land of Egypt, and he was in prison. But before he made it to prison, he was the leader over Potiphar's house. He was in charge of everything. And Potiphar's wife was not a very morally upright woman. She had her desires and she was going to satisfy them. And she kept at Joseph until she got him in a situation that made him have to make a very quick choice and decision. And his response to her and what she attempted to get him to involve himself in verse 9 of Genesis chapter 39 stands out because it points out two things. First, we look to Joseph and we think about the kind of character that he had. And certainly we recognize that that character, his ability to stand, was because of his knowledge of God. But also, it shows us that he had a fear of offending God. He feared the consequences of sin. He said, "There is no one greater in this house than I, and he has withheld nothing from me except you, because you are his wife. How then could I do this great evil and sin against God?" Joseph acknowledged that not only would he be sinning against his master, doing a great evil to his master, but sin would be turning himself against God. And he had great fear for the consequences. Certainly, the example that we see there of Joseph should be one that emphasizes to us the idea that we need to be prepared beforehand. When Joseph was in the heat of the battle, it was not the time to stop and consider, well, is this going to be good, or is this going to be bad? How is this going to affect me? What's this going to do? He already knew what the consequences of committing sin was. And he feared those consequences. He feared going against God. We need to keep in mind the cost of sin. Above all other things that might be enumerated in regards to cost is the cost that God paid so that we could be free from sin. When you're faced with the possibility of doing something that is not right in the sight of God because of some temptation that has been laid before you, it's very difficult to stop and consider all of the cost. We need to think about these things beforehand. And we need to consider that when we sin, yes, we can go to God and ask forgiveness, but what we have done is we have once again crucified the Son of God. Not physically put him on the cross again, but we have put God back through the process of dealing with that sacrifice that he made on the cross of Calvary so we could be free from sin. Do you like going back over the sacrifices that you have made in the past? The times when things have not gone well for you, do you like to go back and think about them again? You see, when we commit sin, every time we commit sin and come to God and say, God, please forgive me for my wrong, even though we have repented, we've got to reach back and access that sacrifice that God made of His Son on the cross of Calvary. There's a great cost involved. And it should cause us to fear sin. Sin should be something that we want to keep ourselves as far away from as we possibly can. Because as Paul told the Corinthian brethren in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21, He made Him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf so that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. Our sin brings consequences. Now, there's also the consequences that we will suffer for our sin. Unrepentant sin will keep us from God for all eternity. It will cause us to have to spend all eternity in the hell, fire, and damnation that was prepared for the devil and for his angels. For those that have rebelled from God from the very beginning. We need to fear sin. We need to understand the consequences and the costs that are involved. Every single time we commit a wrong in the sight of God. And she calls us to fear it. We need to be afraid of sin. We need to do what we can to keep ourselves away from sin rather than allowing ourselves to come close to sin. And that brings us to our third key that we want to consider in regards to keeping ourselves from sin, and that is not just knowledge in general. We talked about knowledge of the Word of God. We talked about courage and knowledge of the sacrifice that was made on our behalf. We talk about fear involved in sin. I'm talking about knowing our limits. We need to examine ourselves to know what we're capable of and where our failures are. When we go to purchase something, whether we're buying something new or we're buying something used or something that's old and worn out, we look and see not only what its capabilities are, but where its limitations are. Because we want to know ahead of time whether we're going to be able to use it for the particular purpose for which we've gotten it together. We look and see whether it is capable of accomplishing the job that we want to accomplish. There's a similar sense in which we need to inventory our own capabilities and see what we can do. I'm not talking about pressing the boundaries to see how far we can get. I'm talking about looking and seeing where our failures are. What's our weak point? What's the crack in our armor? We need to know our limits. And we know that each one's limits are different. There are temptations that I could withstand that you might not. There are temptations that you could withstand that I might not. Someone might approach you with some sort of situation or scenario, and you wouldn't think twice about it and say, I don't want anything to do with that. But they come to me and say, hey, this is good, and I might consider it and think about it. Thinking about this, one of the examples that came to mind, and I'll be honest with you, I'm not sure my examples are the best examples that have ever been done, but maybe, if nothing else, they help you to remember so you think about it. But as most of you know, I'm a little bit technologically savvy. I know a little bit about things, and there are some things that my family members fall for that I look at them and think, why in the world? Over the past several months, false news has been rather prominent. And I'm not saying that I'm perfect at being able to spot it and ignore it or overcome it or look past it, but I've seen a lot of folks that I thought were really smart and really knowledgeable that have propagated such news as if it were true until I or someone else pointed out, if you had just gone and looked here, you would have seen that wasn't true. Why? Because they are more susceptible to those things than I am. When Isaac was growing up, it was about once a month I had to clean his computer off because it had viruses on it, and he'd come, it's slowing down, it doesn't work, it won't do anything anymore. And I'd go look, and in a matter of just a moment, I could tell he clicked on a link somewhere and got a virus on his computer. I could go to that same site and wouldn't even think about clicking on such a link. I wasn't as susceptible as him. And once again, maybe not perfect examples, but it helps us to illustrate and understand that not everyone has the same limits. Some people can be in the room with the flu virus and get it before they can walk back out. Other people can actually take care of the sick people and deal with them day in and day out and not seem to be affected at all. And I know that frustrates those people that get sick real easily. But once again, it's a demonstration that we each have our own limits. You need to know your limit. But remember, even if we have not yet determined what our exact failure point might be, there are some very bright signs that are given to us in Scripture that warn us where the problems can start. In 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 11, Peter said, "Beloved, I urge you as aliens and strangers to abstain from fleshly lust, which war against the soul." You want your path out of being tempted by immorality? Stay away from fleshly lusts. Not see how close you can get without getting burned. Stay away from. Paul told the Thessalonian brethren in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 22, abstain from every form of evil. I realize that our world seems to be turning toward a society where the lines between good and evil are blurring. But we know where the lines are. We've got a guidebook that can tell us where to draw our fences, where the cliffs are. It might be that there are some things that we would come in contact with in this life that we're not prepared for ahead of time, and we might walk up to the edge of the cliff and see what's there and then realize, I need to back away. But most times, we've already had warning signs in the Word of God that would tell us to pull back before we get right up to the edge. We don't need to be the one that has to walk out onto the glass platform that goes out across the Grand Canyon to be able to know that it's a long way down. We need to be able to recognize that before we get to the edge. We need to know our limits. That means that we need to spend time in the Word of God. Y'all weren't expecting that, were you? We need to spend time in the Word of God to develop our character, to develop a sincere and healthy fear of sin and its consequences, and to know where the lines are drawn, and to know how far back we need to stay in order to keep from getting sucked in. I'm always entertained by those space movies where there's a breach in the hull of the spaceship and everything and everybody starts getting sucked out. And there's always one guy that has to go in there and see if he can stay in there without getting sucked out. Why didn't he just keep the door closed and stay outside? He knew what was going to happen. Unfortunately, that's how we deal with sin sometimes. We know what the consequences are. We know what's going to happen. But we want to test ourselves and see if we can. Folks, it didn't take me a whole 30-something years to realize this, but I wish I'd have realized it about 3 or 4 years before I did. The time for me to keep myself away from alcohol was before I went to the first birthday party where they had it. The time for us to pull ourselves back from the edge is before we get there, by preparing ourselves with the Word of God. Courage of character. Strength. I hesitate to say manhood. That sounds like I'm being gender biased or something according to today's political climate. But standing up like a child of God. Being afraid of sin rather than eager to try it out and knowing where our limits are so we can stay well away from them. If you've got a rope that's only able to handle 100 pounds, you're not going to tie a 150-pound load to it. Unless you're very, very desperate and it's the only rope you got. You're going to find a 200-pound rope to handle 150 pounds. We need to know our limits. Then we can defeat sin. And certainly we need to recognize that's the goal, to overcome sin. If we can overcome sin in this life, then we can overcome Satan. And we can enter into the blessed place that's prepared for the children of God for all eternity. Yes, it's a struggle. Yes, there are going to be times when we're going to be faced with something that we were unprepared to deal with. But the better we are prepared to stand firm and watch carefully for sin in a general sense, and in all aspects of our life, the better prepared we're going to be for the surprises that might crop up. The fellow that's paying attention to the road is going to have a better chance of missing the deer that jumps out in front of him. Now, I'm going to say he's going to. He may not. Probably won't, depending on how close it is. But he's sure got a better chance than the fellow that was watching traffic on the other side of the road. We need to prepare ourselves for sin so we can overcome. Courage, or strength of character, fear of sin, and knowing what our limitations are and what strengths we have can help us to do that. Maybe this evening you look and realize that you have failed in something or you're struggling, trying to overcome difficulty and problems. Maybe it's health, maybe it's family issues, maybe it's sin. Congregation is here to assist and help in whatever way we can. If you recognize the need to come to the Lord and to ask your brethren to pray on your behalf for you, that you might be free from sin, that you might be able to bear up under your burdens and struggles, opportunities yours, come always standing in sympathy.